And a second reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, abounding in thanksgiving. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Put to death, therefore, impurity and greed. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language. As God's holy and beloved ones, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive each other. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Let's just say, for argument's sake, that everyone is going to heaven. Let's just say, for argument's sake, that somehow, in some way, oh, call it divine grace, if you will, but that everyone is already going to heaven, that the space is reserved and that our presence here is not about earning worship frequent flyer miles to gather enough points to get there. So if we can say that everyone is going to heaven, and then our time here is not about earning that place, then what is it all about? What else could there be reason for us gathering here in this place? Could there be another meaning for us singing, "Christ the Lord is risen today"? What else could be the purpose? Archbishop Desmond Tutu offers forth one answer to that. He says that the purpose of Christianity is about God's dream. He summed it up so neatly that he used that as the title of a great theological book that he wrote, God's Dream. It looks like a children's book. The pages are quite sturdy and the pictures are much better than what I found in any of my theological textbooks. But the theology within it is as sturdy as the pages, and the images are as true as any that are found in Scripture. God's dream. God dreams that every one of us will see that all of us are brothers and sisters. God's dream is that even if we speak of different languages and have different ways of talking to God, even if our skin colors are different, that each of us carries a piece of God's heart within us. And when we all join together, the pieces of God's heart are made whole. God's dream. God's dream is what Isaiah proclaimed when he spoke of a whole new heaven and a whole new earth. God's dream of all people and all of nature, all of them experiencing God's joy, God's grace, God's very life. That dream is hard for us to imagine. Perhaps that's why Desmond Tutu put it in a children's book with the sturdy pages and the strong pictures. So our children can read it and they can understand it and they can help explain it to us once more. See, the prophet of Isaiah spoke about this dream of a new heaven and of a new earth, and he talked about it, that children born would live into old age. He spoke of weeping that would be no more. He spoke of the vision of what it will be like when those who labor under the hot sun to put the roofs on houses are also those who dwell in those houses. That those who labor to gather the vegetables from the field will also have plenty on their table as well. He spoke of a vision of lions and lambs eating together, not devouring one another, but eating side by side in peace. Some would say that still wishful thinking, pie in the sky, some utopia fitting for a children's book, but really? But the prophets have bought into God's dream. Over and over, God's sons and daughters prophesied and shared this vision of a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus of Nazareth understood God's dream. He dreamed of release of the captives. He dreamed of liberation, of freedom from oppression, of new sight to the blind, of the year of the Lord's favor. He dreamed when the outcast would be included, when there would be healing for the sick, and the reversal of the powers of injustice. It's a beautiful dream, this dream of God's dream. And Jesus, he got so caught up in it that he just could not let it go. He dared to announce it. He dared to announce that its time had come. And he dared to labor to bring it to pass. And the dream became woven within his very essence. It became so strong in him. And others who feared it, others tried to beat it out of him, but it was so much a part of him that they couldn't. And so they killed him. Jesus was executed by the Roman government. Executed in order to keep the powerful in their place and in order to squelch God's dream that was growing in the hearts of the common people. The execution, it was not by lethal injection or by electric chair. There were no worries about cruel and unusual punishment. They hung him on a tree. It's a high price to pay for God's dream. God's beautiful dream of peace and justice and the peaceable kingdom and the new heaven and the new earth that was nailed to a tree. But you see, God will not let God's dream just die. The Spirit of Christ, God keeps that dream alive. We thought that we could kill God's dream. We humans think that we are so powerful at times. We think we can kill God's dream, but we doubt that we have the abilities to keep it alive. So the Spirit of Christ keeps it within us. It whispers it in our hearts. It places it in our hands. Prophets hear it through the ages again and again. The sons and the daughters of God continue to proclaim it. The prophet's dream of a new continent where all people would be grounded in the idea that all are created equal. Prophet's dream of a place where the sons of slaves and the sons of slave owners would come together and share at a table of brotherhood. Prophet's dream of the end of apartheid, of a wall dividing a city from east and west would tumble down. The prophets continue to dream. And prophets who speak such dreams and work to make them happen, sometimes prophets get killed. But the Easter story, See, the Easter story proclaims to us over and over again that God's dream cannot die. God will not let it. That God's Spirit continues to live and to birth it over and over again. The good news of Easter is that when we give up being anxious about going to heaven and who gets in and who doesn't, then we can devote our lives to living God's dream for us today. We can rise above our worries about what happens to this body when it wears out. We can embrace God's dream for us today. And we can see God's dream is alive. We can see it sprouting. It's sprouting as sure as we see those tender green shoots just starting to push through that frozen soil. It is already, but it is not yet. We can see them. They're already there, but they are not yet in full bloom. But there are signs. Signs that it is a reality, that it is coming to pass. God's dream breaks in. When a Jewish temple and when a Muslim mosque and a Christian church can share a campus in Omaha, Nebraska, God's dream is alive. When 500,000 hungry people are fed each year at Sienna Francis House, God's dream is alive. When 30 families in Omaha alone can go from homelessness to home ownership because of the work of all the people and Habitat for Humanity, God's dream is alive. Amen. When teenagers who have been kicked out and they live on the streets and they find their way to Urban Abbey in the old market and they find a safe place and they begin to learn job skills and they begin once more to see glimmers of a future of theirs that can be different, God's dream is alive. And when the city council in Omaha can pass an ordinance that allows for equality in the workplace for all of God's people, God's dream is alive. God's dream is not complete, but we see sparks of it. We see sprouts of it. God's dream continues to be before us. God dreams of Israeli and Palestinian children walking side by side to the table of brotherhood and peace. God dreams that young people can find a sense of belonging and identity without a gang naming them and giving that to them. God dreams yet that all people can see a doctor when they're sick. That all people will have a place to be sheltered where no one sleeps in gutters and in cardboard boxes. God dreams when the weapons that we store in our closets and under our beds will all be melted down and turned into jewelry and turned into pruning shears and shovels and toys. God's dream continues. And the Easter story tells us that God's dream is not a ghost. And God's dream is not a decomposing body. And it's not a pie in the sky utopian beyond all reality. And it's not something that's just contained in a children's fairy tale. But that God's dream is alive as Christ is alive. As God's dream lives and breathes in each one here. God's dream is alive. But we wonder, when and how can it come into full blossom? It seems so hard. And the Apostle Paul writes in the letter that we heard to the Colossians, he talks about God's dream coming to life when we learn to put to death the evil, the slander, the wrath, the anger that lives within us. And when we allow to be birthed instead the forgiveness and the joy and the compassion for one another, God's dream comes into blossom when we put to death our greed and our idolatry, and we allow that generosity to spring forth from our hands. And it sounds lovely, but you say, oh, but that's so hard. How can that be? Well, it doesn't happen by ourselves. It doesn't happen alone. It doesn't happen by sheer determination and hard will of our own. It happens through God's Spirit, through Christ's Spirit. It happens through the Spirit of God living and moving. It happens when we open our hearts to experience God's Spirit, when we gather with community to be supported and encouraged and challenged and growing up in our faith, when we allow ourselves to live as Easter people. God's dream grows stronger and brighter each day. Easter morning is not an event that happened 2,000 years ago. It happens each morning. We open our eyes and we celebrate God's presence alive in our world, in our hearts, and in our hands. For Christ is alive. Emmanuel, God, is with us. Hallelujah. Amen.